is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Christy Stratton.
And I'm Kyle Dotson.
And we are not at the normal location for recording.
No.
We are currently at my house.
In your study.
We're upstairs in the office. We are surrounded by music.
It really is appropriate.
It really is appropriate.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll take pictures and send this. But yeah, all my CDs are here. All my autographed albums are here. All my rock bios are back here on this shelf.
Right below your Harry Potter Legos?
Right below my daughter's Harry Potter Legos. We had to put them up here because the cat jumps into them. Just okay. Dives headfirst into them. Seriously, they were all over here. These all my rock books are over there.
Oh.
So yeah, here we are.
It's nice. Good. That's a good vibe.
And the reason we're here tonight is Christy and I are going to watch the first two episodes of Vinyl. And just do audio commentary.
Never again.
Now, let me
Never
do
again.
They have, because I haven't watched it yet, do they have like actual music from that era, or do they make
music?
Okay.
Or
here's one of the reasons it's terrible. Well, let me just preface it by saying I don't like to hate on things. I'm not that person to put negativity out in the world. But just know that it's so terrible and they're getting away with it. HBO has doubled down on this horribleness. They've ordered a second season.
Oh my God, no.
Reviewers are like, it's great. It's not great. Okay, so about music.
There might be payola happening with the reviewers.
I mean, it's...
Better or worse than People versus O.J. Simpson? Because that's pretty horrible.
I think that's a masterpiece. The episode that was last night,
I thought
was wonderful. It was the best one yet. Okay, music is not good. Like, you expect it to be good, mm-hmm. but the songs they choose to spend money on and how they choose to... it's like I posted on my Facebook, they licensed Bad Moon Rising under a scene where he leaves one room and walks into another room.
Yeah.
And with his back to camera, lights a cigarette. That's... I can't hear myself, Pat.
What? I keep turning down your thing, thinking it's mine. There we go. Sorry about that, honey.
Okay.
I called you honey.
So even though there's clearly a lot of money being thrown at this, mm-hmm. A lot of the music is re-recorded, like by I don't know who. And there is a scene that's so, it takes you out of what's going on so much. Because they do this thing where, like, it's Bo Diddley by the pool.
Yeah.
Or it's Karen Carpenter in the passenger seat. Okay, so it's clearly Karen Carpenter. Right. Mm-hmm. She's singing Yesterday once more, but she's not. It's clearly Amy Mann or someone that sounds like Amy Mann. So you don't even know what your brain is like. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's happening? And then, oh, wait, this is a dramatic moment. It's so fake and so, I mean, I know it's hard. It's hard to do that period and not be cartoony.
Right.
But you know how you do it is you make compelling characters. And I think they want to be Mad Men. They want to be like Mad Men in the 70s. But here's some mitigating factors about Don Draper is he was great at his job. And he grew up in really miserable circumstances.
Yes.
So you could kind of like, oh, even though he cheats on his wife, even though like he can be horrible, he's good at his job. He's mentoring this young woman. Like there are mitigating factors that take the ick away.
Right.
Where Bobby Cannavale, like that fact that he, I honestly, I just can't even talk about him. Like it's the character's written poorly. That's, you know, but
he got hired because of his hair. I think.
Is he like in charge of the studio or is he?
Well, it's a fake record label.
It's a right. fake
Which
record
I hate,
label.
I hate that too. I hate that it's just like, you know, it's like.
But they have real artists.
I yeah, know, like, and they're always then like. Just make fake artists that are similar to them. And then you don't have to. Then if you re-record songs, it's okay because it's.
Yeah, it's really. Yeah, either make a completely fictitious show about the 70s and music industry or get your facts right. And you're so right. Your tweet about John Bonham whispering in Robert Plant's ear.
Yeah. It's that whole scene.
Like, John Bonham would have like thrown up on his shoe and punched him.
Yeah. He'd have been like,
for no reason.
Exactly. And the plant, the guy that they cast as Robert Plant.
You see those birds over there? Oh, shut up.
You're doing to me what I'm going to do to them later.
I don't think Robert Plant ever said that either. I think he was.
It's such terrible dialogue. But you guys, again, what is so criminal about this is the talent behind this whole thing is, I mean,
Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese
and Terrence Winter. Like, it's
nuts.
It's nuts. And I don't know if it's that they're not taking notes or HBO's not giving them, because they're not dummies over there. Like, they know what they're doing. And
I love all their other shows that they do for the most part.
I just, there's not, and then of course they introduce Ray Romano's wife, and she's a bitch, everyone. She's a shrill bitch. And his daughter, she's a bitch too. She just wants this wedding, and she's just, they're one dimensional.
I love Ray Romano, but I don't like him.
And his mother lives across the street from the studio and comes over.
Like, I loved him on Men of a Certain Age, and obviously Raymond, and I heard he was amazing on Parenthood, but I see, like, what if that was Seinfeld all of a sudden in a beard? Hey, we're going to sign some people to the label.
It's like, so bad. The only person, James Jagger is terrible. The only person that was any, the only person that was any good, they murdered in the first episode. Spoiler alert. But yeah, it's, but you know what? What's his name? The Dice Man. He's wonderful in it, and you feel his authenticity.
The place where they murdered, that reminded me very much of the scene with Alfred Molina in Boogie Nights, though,
too. That's so funny that you say that, because I was so bored. And I'm like, why was I bored in this scene and not in that scene? And I'll tell you why. You had the guy that had the whippersnappers, and so it kept the tension high.
Yeah.
Like, so you kept kind of like, what's going to happen? But in this scene, it was just a bunch of people pontificating, which is a boring.
And by the way, why would Bobby Cannavale's character really be in part of a murder? It's just crazy to start out like this. There wasn't even really a build to that, in my opinion.
Crazy. So it's like, what's going to happen at the end of the season? It's either going to be disappointing or it's going to be incredibly ridiculous. Sure,
we haven't even talked about the building collapse, you guys. The building collapse.
The record building.
No.
Oh.
There's the New York Dolls. They're rocking so hard. Oh, the building
collapses.
Collapses.
I thought the guys that were the New York Dolls were pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, at first, because I was like, I think that's, at first I was like, is that really David Johansen? Couldn't be David Johansen. David Johansen's easily late 60s. And then they got closer, and I was like, okay, that's not, but this is supposed to be the New York Dolls, right? But it was weird. Like you said, Bobby Cannavale, he'll just drive around town,
so
and he'll hear music from the car.
And then he pulls over. And pull over, driver.
He'll pull it, and then he'll go in, and it's some amazing artist.
Yeah. People running to that building that collapsed. Like, what is that? And there was the last episode was him.
And also kids ran up over his car.
Yeah, because you need to do that, right?
It's not a production of Hair. That's what I thought. I'm like, what's going on?
And the backstory. So we get the backstory of him and the wife, and then I'm going to just shut up because we're seeing it in these little bits. Like, ooh, what really interesting thing? And no, it's just he sees her. They have sex in the bathroom, and like she goes on camera for Andy Warhol's filming one of those films where just people are sitting there, which is boring to watch. And when you're watching those actual films, when you're watching someone film one of those boring films, like, and then he's like looking across at her. I'm like, what? I just,
and she doesn't look like a woman of the 70s. Like I said, her eyebrows are all arched up and tweezed. And it's just not.
There's
Carole King looked how women looked in the 70s.
Yes, with the natural hair.
Natural hair and eyebrows. And
right.
Just hardly any makeup, you know, not just.
I.
Well, speaking of Carole King.
Yes.
PBS, I think it's called American Masters. They have a documentary right now on Carole King. It is only 1 hour long and it covers so much territory.
Oh, cool.
And it is amazing. Like, the wine's making me burp. Christy brought wine. I was watching it the other night and Sarah came in the room right when it started and she sat there. And I didn't even really think she was paying attention. She was on her phone and then Rita needed me. So I paused it and she said, Dad, are you coming right back? Because I really want to finish watching this. She loved it. It's really good. Yeah.
Tapestry. That was my childhood. That my single mom would play that record. Like that was just.
I'm glad you said Tapestry because I wanted to bring this up. I wanted to look up when her that was her second album. Tapestry was her second solo album. I wanted to see when her third album came out because I was like, well, Tapestry probably was on the charts for so long that the third album probably didn't come out for a couple of years. Tapestry came out in February of 71 or 72. But anyway, her third album came out in December of the same year.
Oh.
So they wanted to cash in immediately instead of letting this thing, you know what I mean?
Well, she's a songwriter, so she probably had some in the vault that like, but it's weird.
That's your biggest album is out. That'd be like AC/DC, you know, on the heels of Back in Black, another album that same year. You know what I mean?
Well, how soon after Back in Black did they release Dirty Deeds?
You mean For Those About to Rock?
No, didn't they release Dirty Deeds, which was rejected by Atlantic?
I see what you're talking about.
Like, didn't they want to cash in? And I'm misremembering. Yeah. But I know that was after he perished.
It would be like if Heartbeat City came out, and then at the end of that same year, another album came out. How about that? That's better.
Now I understand.
Did you pre-order that box set?
I did. I absolutely did.
On CD, though, not vinyl. Or did
Correct.
You get both?
No, I just got the CDs.
That new Greatest Hits package they're putting out does not have Good Times Roll on it.
Hmm.
That's a mistake, right?
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hmm. Real quick before we get on with the show, on with the topic, Michael Bagford, thank you very much for your donation that I received today. It was very, very nice of you. You are currently my favorite listener. Also, if you want to support the show, here's an easy way to do it. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com. Whenever you want to go to Amazon and buy anything, go to rocksolidpodcast.com first and click on our little link to Amazon, and that'll take you right to Amazon, and then we'll get a little kickback on anything that you purchase. Also, over at rocksolidpodcast.com, every week, starting, I think, 3 shows ago, if you scroll down to the bottom where Andrew puts the set list, I have been putting links to each individual song. So if you're like, oh my God, I never heard that song before, I want to buy that, just go to the set list, click on the song, and it'll take you right to Amazon where you can buy the song.
Yep.
So there. Easy ways to support the show while you're purchasing stuff for yourself anyway. So that's it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So, Kristen.
Yes.
Tonight. What's crazy about tonight is this show, like, tonight, I'm posting this tonight. This show goes out tomorrow.
I hope I don't, like, say anything that we need to cut.
Well, we will just cut it if you
okay,
do.
Okay. All right.
But, this is dropping immediately. And the artwork is amazing by Jamie Whitlock. Although someone said they would have liked to seen you in a schoolboy outfit instead.
Yeah, it's a little, you know.
Is that creepy?
Disconcert. Well, I don't want to say creepy because I don't want to insult Jamie Whitlock.
It's creepy that he made you Brian Johnson.
Well, no, just the image is a little like, oh my heavens.
It's I think he just found the goofiest face and he's like, oh, that would look great on Angus's body. So that's why I'm Angus.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is good.
Because I would love to have those Brian Johnson guns.
Yeah.
Then I looked.
He never keeps them trapped. He just lets them loose.
Cuts the sleeves off, whatever. Dress shirt, cut it off. T-shirt, cut it off. He used to wear tank top, wife beater.
Oh.
Yeah. There's some.
When do you think that term will go away?
Wife beater?
Yeah.
When people stop beating their wives.
Yeah.
And wearing those shirts.
I like that. That's like the vernacular now. Everyone knows what you're talking about when you say wife beater. Because it's like really called like an A-frame. T-shirt.
You
got
to worry about
that.
The guy who says that's my favorite T-shirt to wear. My wife beater. That's what you got to be afraid of.
Mm.
Okay, what are we doing here? Oh, Kyle, I put out on Twitter that if you had a, if you wanted to request an AC/DC song, that we will be listening to some Twitter phone calls.
Yeah, we have a few. So.
Oh,
do we want to start though, or we want to do that in the middle? What do you think?
It's up to you.
Middle.
Okay.
In the middle. Yeah, we want to start this thing out.
Yeah, I want to play my stuff.
All right, Christy, you're going to go first then.
Yay!
This is all AC/DC.
Okay, so AC/DC, what AC/DC means to me.
Have you seen them in concert?
Yes.
How many times?
Once.
I've only seen them once, too.
Mm.
I saw them at the Grammy rehearsals, too. I'll talk about that when you're done.
Okay. So when AC/DC first started coming into my consciousness as a child, they were, of course, they scared me to death.
Right.
Because they covered, they represented to me three things I was very afraid of. Death, sex, and the devil. And I genuinely thought, these guys worship the devil. Like, that's what's happening. Anytime they say hell or the devil in any music,
right,
that's what's happening. And I didn't realize, of course, till I was an adult that, like, they're having a laugh and it's representing something and whatever. And I was able to relax into it and realize that, you know, that's not what was going on. So to that end, I want to play my favorite.
Your favorite
song.
My
favorite AC/DC song right off the bat.
Wow.
It's a song about living by your own rules, and it's called Highway to Hell. Start the show off right, Pat Francis.
I mean, whoever put them together with Mutt Lang,
right,
was a genius.
Yeah,
because up until then they had been produced by their brother, who did a great job. Those you know, TNT and Long Way to the Top, If You Want to Rock and Roll, and Dirty Deeds and Problem Child. Those all sound great, but this really put them over the top.
Yes, Highway it just sounds like it's a more serious, bigger sound, like heavier. I don't know.
The
song.
Separation of you know, the instruments, like guitars in one speaker, and then all of a sudden here comes that bass drum and the snare. I mean, it's so good.
It's really, really good.
little bit of AC/DC trivia. They have 21 songs with the word rock in the title. 21 songs, because that's what they like to do. They just like to rock. AC/DC has also had two singers.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Wait for it. Wait for it. Three drummers.
Okay.
Two bass players.
Okay.
And two rhythm guitar players, since Malcolm is not there anymore. Their nephew, Stevie Young, is now the rhythm guitar player. So Angus... Okay. Up until this past year or so, Angus and Malcolm were both the anchors, but now it's just Angus. So, hi.
Hmm.
How about that?
That's interesting.
Is that some good trivia? Maybe not. My first song is the follow-up to the gigantic Back in Black, which I'm not playing any songs from Back in Black tonight because in the history of this show, I'm pretty sure that I've played every single song from Back in Black.
Okay.
I'm almost positive. Hmm. It is my favorite AC/DC album, though.
Perfect.
The other day, I think Jim Glass wanted us to list 12 go-to albums that we love top to bottom, and Back in Black was on that list.
Yes.
It just is. It just is.
Yeah, just top to bottom.
Yeah. So my song is from For Those About to Rock, We Salute You. It is the third album produced by Mutt Lang. And this song is called Put the Finger on You.
Oh, I brought this one too.
Did you really?
Yes.
Where is it, Kyle?
It should be playing.
We're not hearing anything.
It's on my list if you want to retrieve it from there.
Oh, that's why. Never mind. Hold on.
The one lyric here cracks me up.
Yeah. just one of many not so thinly veiled sexual innuendo.
Exactly.
It's part of their kind of staple, right?
Yeah, they just they're not playing games.
No, they're just going to say, "Hey, I want to, you know, finger you." I mean, that's basically, there's not really any kind of euphemism, metaphorical, anything.
Well, here's the line I like. It says, "I put the finger on you, yeah. My hand's all out of control. I can't stop it getting down on you. It's moving of its own accord." That's not how I would assume the guys are talking at AC/DC. You know what I mean?
It's very funny, though. To me, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, too. Like, they know, like, we're doing this, but we're also kind of having a laugh, too. We get it. We're in on the joke.
You think they're having a laugh?
I think they're having a laugh. I do. I think they're probably fun to hang out with, and they just, they're like, okay, what new thing can we, you know, throw balls into? Like, I don't know. Like,
balls is in a lot of songs. Balls and rock.
Yeah.
So the classic lineup is Angus, Malcolm, Bon Scott, Phil Rudd, and Cliff Williams, but also Brian Johnson, if you insert him, that's also a classic lineup.
Absolutely.
Too. That's the classic lineup.
Yeah.
I just want to put that out there.
For sure. My next one is from Back in Black. And let me set this up with this. So after like the terrifying, oh my gosh, the devil, I had a stepsister for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Her name was Dawn.
Are you still in touch?
Oh, no.
Okay.
She's
still alive?
Was part of the Columbia Record and Tape Club.
Okay.
And had 8 tracks. And she had the 8-track of Back in Black. And she was on the drill team. And she had a routine to this song. Well, she'd listened to the whole record. But this particular one always makes me think of Dawn in the drill team outfit with the little... There were paddles that were different colors. And she would move them up and
down
anyway.
I hope it's giving the dog a bone.
No. It is What Do You Do for Money, Honey?
Oh.
This is high school, you guys.
Yeah.
High school.
Trying to get it back in, but girl, you must be getting slow. So stop your love on the road. Are you digging for gold? You make me wonder. Yes, I wonder. Yes, I wonder. Honey, what do you do for money?
So, people call Keith Richards the Riffmeister.
Yes.
Or whatever they call him.
Okay.
Angus, these guitar riffs and licks and whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
Are incredible.
They're great.
I love how crystal clear some of these AC/DC records are recorded. And again, that must be Mutt Lange because.
Oh, yes.
I just love being able to hear everything. I kind of like that trebly, tinny sound in my rock and roll. I don't like a lot of bass coming through and muddying up the whole mix. That's not how I roll, Christy.
Okay, all right, I hear you.
All right, so I said earlier that I've seen AC/DC once in concert. I saw them on the Black Ice tour at the Forum.
Oh, so fairly recent.
Fairly recent, 6 years
okay,
ago.
All right.
They were so incredible that the whole time I watched them, I was like, how could they possibly have been any better than this in 81 or 82? They're incredible right now. And everyone had those, everyone bought these for $10. You could buy the light up horns.
No.
And there were 3 settings. They would stay lit or else they would blink, or else one would blink, then the other one would blink. And like when they sang like Highway to Hell, I looked out and there was like a sea of devil horns blinking. It was so cool.
That's fantastic.
And then the only other time I saw them was when David Wilde took me to the Grammy rehearsals last year. And it was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like it hurt my ears. Like I had to put my fingers in my ears while they sang the next song that I'm going to play. And I just kept thinking, if this was an actual concert and this was my seat and they were going to play for 2 hours, I don't think I could stay in this amazing seat because I think I would have been deaf.
Okay.
But the song they played was from Let There Be Rock, and they only did it at soundcheck. They didn't do it on the show. And this is Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be.
Sometimes not.
action. Any piece of action.
So that song is from Let There Be Rock. That's the first album to feature the classic AC/DC logo. But then the album after it doesn't have it on. Power Edge doesn't have that logo on. And then it came back for Highway to Hell. Also, that is Mark Evans on bass. He plays on High Voltage, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, and Let There Be Rock.
Now, for the listeners at home and Christy who can't see your computer, you have like a notes list typed up.
Yeah.
But at the top, you put AC/DC, and you actually changed the font to be the AC/DC font.
Yes,
for
that's a font called Squealer. Kyle,
nice.
Here, I'll show it to you. See? Take a little peeky boo.
Oh, I love that. I want that font.
I made some Squealer. That, you can download
that was
it.
Just that, but that's just for you, really.
It's just for me. No one else is going to see that. And I'm going to delete that file when we're done recording. So I just did that for me because I'm crazy.
Oh, I like that.
We're four songs in.
Okay.
And I love it.
Okay, my next one is my second favorite.
Kyle yawned during the last song, so I'm a little worried about him making it through two.
I'm more awake than at the Dire Straits.
I can't.
What was the worst? Someone said the worst for you was Dire Straits and U2.
Yeah.
And we're recording Pink Floyd in March, so that's another one. Bring a pillow?
Yeah, bring a pillow for Pink Floyd. I don't have time for their nonsense.
Well,
okay.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yes,
is a movie I have not seen.
I don't know if I've seen it either.
I've never seen it either.
I love Emilio Estevez. I love
sure back in the day
trucks.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
love
Stephen
the Green
King.
Goblin.
I have not seen this movie, but they have a soundtrack to this Stephen King Emilio Estevez movie. It's called Who Made Who. It's not like it's called Maximum Overdrive the soundtrack.
No,
it's not.
No.
And that's where I discovered this song, which was from a different record, I think, that I didn't have. Anyway, it's called Shake Your Foundations, and it's freaking awesome.
This is on my list.
Ah,
wait, was it? No, it just missed making my list. It's from Fly on the Wall.
Ah, there you go. Rocks, and I love the imagery. Like, I just imagine Brian Johnson at the bar and like just him walking across the floor to like meet the girl at the door. Like,
there's a video for that song.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I was out of MTV at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I have to check that out.
This is, the album cover of this is like it's a wall with a hole in it, and then there's a cartoon fly. It's kind of a weird, cheesy little album cover. But yeah, this had another, they have a very subtle song on this album called Sink the Pink.
Oh yeah, I like that one too.
But yeah, this album is this album has a couple, for me, this album isn't great.
Really? Okay, but those two songs are excellent.
It's got a couple good songs, but it's not great.
Okay, but, well that's why Who Made Who was so, like that cassette got a lot of play and...
Yeah, because there were like two new songs on Who Made Who, and then they used all these other AC/DC songs. And
right.
Not necessarily hits per se, but I do have Who Made Who on my list. So, Kyle, if you want to play that next, obviously Stephen King's favorite band is AC/DC.
Yes.
So for him, this was a thrill. But this is Who Made Who.
The video game seems lame.
guitar.
Love it. Feel it when I turn the screw, Pat.
I know.
You know the voice is starting to go there. It's a little bit starting to go.
Yeah, it's a little bit. I
find
that when Bon was in the band, they would do more slower, bluesier based numbers.
Yes.
And with Brian, it was just all out rock.
Yeah.
Most of the AC/DC albums, too, up until recently, would just be basically 10 songs. Boom, here's 10. Take it.
Yeah.
This is for you. These are the 10 we did. Enjoy it. They're going to rock.
Yeah. They're all going to rock. So I'm not going to quote this right, and it's not my quote, but I think it was one of the VH1 was awesome in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. There was some kind of, and it might have even been David Wilde, but they're like, you knew when you went to a show, they weren't going to throw a ballad at you. Like there's
Never.
Just, they're just not.
There isn't one.
Yeah. Although I will say, this was hard to do without. I almost wanted to put I have a Goosebumps AC/DC song, but I wanted to save it for the Goosebumps episode that is taking us some time to get together because you have to like, oh, this is giving me Goosebumps. I have to write it down.
Do I actually physically have to be getting Goosebumps or it's
just something either that has given you Goosebumps or like, you know, maybe in a specific moment.
Okay.
Like a patriotic song.
But just, I mean, does that phenomenon not happen to you? Like, to me, either something emotionally hits me or a performance that is so, like, it just, the crescendos to some, like, thing that you're like, oh, my, like, just, and then you get the goosebumps.
Well, that is going to be our next episode. I promised you, and that will be our next
But it's hard, I know, because you have to, like, oh, remember.
Yeah,
and
I can't even think of one that gives me goosebumps.
Well, Star Spangled Banner.
But yeah.
Well, no. I'm not saying it has to be patriotic.
No, I'm kidding.
All right. So I was able to keep that at bay, and I hope that you haven't chosen it either, because I really... Anyway, my next song is from the tour that I saw from the Stiff Upper Lip album. Here's how little game I had in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I took this boy that I just was so hot for, his name was Dino, to this concert, and...
Now, this
Nothing
is, this
happened.
Is 2000.
Nothing
this
happened.
Is
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing.
Did he like?
Bye.
Did he like the
show? We didn't just see all this sex songs. Like what?
Did he think you were going as friends? Did he think?
They always do, Pat. They always think. I mean, they always thought that.
It's. I mean.
Maybe.
You didn't. I mean,
he was friend zoning me, but to
Gary calls you his roommate, right?
It's a tough thing because I think if the girl like puts a move on.
Honey, no.
What?
I'm not going to put a move on. I invited him to the AC/DC concert.
What I'm saying is, if the girl, if you put it, let's say, if you put a move on, I think a guy thinks if a girl puts a move on, then it's, we're open for business. You know what I'm saying? Trying to be gentle here. As gentle as AC/DC.
No, because you know what?
So obviously,
that is
one of their songs, Open for Business?
Should be. One of their songs should be called Oval Office.
Oh, that's good. Oh, we should have done that. We should have thought of other innuendos that they haven't used.
So nothing. And did you ever hear from him again?
No, we actually got into a horrible fight. It was one of those things that I started. It was right when I started getting legit work. And I found that there were certain people that I had around me at that time that couldn't handle it. And I'm sure they all went on to success. I'm not saying that, but in that moment, I had paid a lot of dues. I was over 30.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel like I needed to apologize for having gotten a job and whatever. And it was just, there was some fallout there.
That's weird.
And yeah.
Well, you find out who your real friends are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
It was interesting because I'd never had that happen to me where, oh, wait a minute. You can't be happy for me. And I know what that feels like because I have friends that have done like amazing things. And I try to feel excited for them, even though like, oh, I wish I had that thing. So I know what it feels like. I know what that is.
Yeah.
But just fake it. Fake it. I do. Anywho, so this is the only time I've seen them live. I said that. Yeah, it's called Hold Me Back from Stiff Upper Lip. I got a heart that'll blow to you.
love it. Yeah,
it's
I like
just
that
so
album.
Satisfying. Yeah. Like, there's some music that you're just that just satisfies, right?
And this does.
It just does.
By the way, Michael Bagford, I can't even talk tonight. Michael Bagford, who made the donation today, he's the one that said that Dire Straits and you two are ones that Kyle will have a fit with, and then he'll have a fit with tonight.
Kyle, I hope that you rediscover Dire Straits when you're in your 40s. That's what I'm hoping for you. That there's something in your soul that it completes, and it will just take you to another plane.
And then in your 50s, Steely Dan.
Oh, right.
I've heard Reeling in the Years like 3 times in the past two days.
It's a pretty great song.
It's a great song.
It's a good song. Even if you don't like Steely Dan, you still like that song.
And I know
the
this is about
guitar riff's good.
Oh my God, so bad. The best.
I re-dug up Two Against Nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so solid. It's so good. It's so good.
I know. It's a shame that Donald Fagen
is crazy.
Punched his wife.
Oh God.
Come on, man. And he punched her. He pushed her, but still.
Yeah. And he threatened Owen Wilson's life.
That's
true. We've spoken of this right on the show. I can't remember. Sometimes I forget, like, oh, did I have this conversation with...
I don't remember hearing that at all.
Maybe yeah, we on didn't. Twitter, didn't they? Or something?
Well, it was back in when Two Against Nature came out.
With Cousin Dupree.
Oh, no. I mean, well, that was a song, Cousin Dupree, but it was later when he had that movie called You, Me, and Dupree.
Yeah.
He, like, wrote some letter to Owen Wilson, and it was like, I know people, I can have you killed. I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Was it a joke, though?
I got news for you. About 9 years later, no one knows about either of those things or cares.
Right, right. Oh, it was so crazy. And then it kind of went away.
And then Mick Taylor got mad at him for Drill Bit Taylor.
Oh, good. Wow, that was fast.
That was pretty quick. Pretty quick.
Nice.
Also, I have to tell everyone this. Everyone knows that me and Jimmy Pardo are going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, but we did actually have a serious email exchange today, and we're going to talk in person tomorrow because the whole thing's kind of breaking bad for us. Cetera, we're kind of deciding that maybe we're going to pull.
Because Kid Rock did this to you?
We have our plane tickets.
Okay.
We have our hotel, and we actually have 6 tickets to the show because Jimmy was on a plane. He told me, you have to buy the tickets because I'm going to be on the plane. I don't think I'll have internet access. So I bought the tickets and I texted him, and then he texted me right back or emailed me right back from the plane. He goes, I got 2 also. And I'm like, all right, well, we can get rid of 2 of them.
Sure.
And then a week later he goes, what do you think of these seats? And I went and looked, and I'm like, those are amazing. He goes, I just bought those. I'm like, okay, what are you doing? Now we have to get rid of 4. So anyway, Peter Cetera not being there with the band is really super disappointing.
Yes.
Super disappointing to Jimmy, but also disappointing to me because I wanted to see that.
That would have been amazing.
David Coverdale and Glenn Hughes are not performing with Deep Purple. Only the current incarnation of Deep Purple is playing. And that's disappointing. They're going to be there to get their award.
What about Ian Gillan?
Ian Gillan's in the...
Oh, he's in the current
in the
iteration.
Current, yeah.
Well, then, okay.
But there's 3 albums. It's Mach 3 and 4 has, if you're a Deep Purple fan, they call it Mach 3 and 4. It's David Coverdale and Glenn Hughes. And I like that era too. And it's just, if they're going to be there, so why don't you play one song? You know what I mean? But they're still going to go. Okay. So that's disappointing. And then Kid Rock is inducting.
Kid Rock. I mean,
Bill's not from Rockford state.
He's not Kid Rockford. I mean, look, Billy Corgan loves Cheap Trick. The Foo Fighters love Cheap Trick. Joe Perry says Cheap Trick is his favorite band. I mean,
anyone.
Kid Rock.
That's, I mean,
that's super disappointing.
He either
that
has
means
a great publicist.
He's
going
to perform with them, and I don't need that. So
he ruined the Led Zeppelin Kennedy Center Honors.
He's terrible.
He's nothing.
Talk about a wife beater.
Yeah. He's just an idiot.
With his hat.
His hat, and it's just,
That's
a real downer for me.
It's a real downer.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean...
So this great thing that we've been
and he's going to write it, too, by the way. It's not like Springsteen's write it.
No. Like, when is it Rob Morello? Is that his name?
Tom Morello.
What about Rob? God, I can't think of anything.
Rob Thomas Morello.
Tom Morello. When he inducted Kiss, it was amazing.
That was so amazing because I think he kind of did a nod to like what people's yeah. perception, mm-hmm. but really just gave so much credit to that yeah. band and did it so right.
And you're not even
right.
a fan of his.
No, I'm not a fan of Rage Against the Machine yeah. or Audio
but,
Slave.
But that was so, I agree. I remember that.
Yeah,
that
was really
fantastic.
Good. And you know that Kid Rock's going to come out and go, the fucking best rock band.
He's going to have his
fucking
notes.
Cheap Trick.
He's going to be like, mom, screw this. He's going to throw
this,
and be like, they're
badass.
Great.
He's going to have a beer. He's going to maybe have a cigar. It's
have a copy of RoboCop. Everything Detroit.
Everything, yeah. Everything Detroit and everything. Bob Seger t-shirt. It's going to be awful.
And they have waited
Cut
a
off.
Long damn time.
Yeah. Don't they have a say in who inducts them?
I just.
Guess not.
I mean, in the.
They should have Peter Cetera do it.
That would be great. In the Foo Fighters, in their documentary series, Taylor Hawkins says, he goes, man, when we went to record it in Chicago, I didn't know anything about blues. All I knew is Cheap Trick's from Chicago. And then they did like a, you know, they do like a quick little package on Cheap mm-hmm. Trick. But I'm like, oh, Kid Rock.
Even if you got Taylor Hawkins, you know what I mean? Even if you got
just
like
Taylor Hawkins yeah. would be great. But Jesus.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
It's bad.
So you can see why we really are debating. I don't need to pay $1,000 to see a train wreck.
No. No.
You know? So anyway, all right. You just played a song.
Oh,
yes. Stiff Upper Lip.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Thank you. My next song is from 1993. This is the only time AC/DC, what?
I'm just like, oh, 93, that's it, okay.
This is the only time that AC/DC recorded a song for a soundtrack. I'm saying it was a soundtrack of all different artists, but okay. there was a brand new AC/DC track on it.
Ooh.
And that movie is Last Action Hero.
Okay.
And the song is Big Gun. Video is directed by David Mallet. Schwarzenegger's in the video. Oh. That song is produced by Rick Rubin.
Nice. Oh, this book that I brought, Why AC/DC Matters, mm-hmm. is a quote from Rick Rubin. And I will read it aloud.
Let's hear it.
It says, I'll go on record saying that AC/DC is the greatest rock and roll band of all time.
That's pretty
Rick
great.
Rubin.
That's pretty great.
Right?
What does Kid Rock have to say?
Fuck, man. AC/DC. Shut up, Kid Rock.
Is Mutt Lange in the Hall of Fame? Robert John Mutt Lange?
I don't know. Do producers get in there?
I believe so. I believe so. Because like session musicians do, don't they?
Every last single person that was ever said the name E Street is in there. God, I can't believe the E Street Band is in there.
Oh, separately?
Separately, yeah. They got in like 2 years ago separately. And I'm talking like, I say this all the time on the show, like Mad Dog Vinnie Lopez, who played on the first two albums, is it's just like, ugh, really?
Really.
That's what I mean. And the Cars? No.
I can't. But you know what? I'm already looking forward to next year. Them, but yes.
Does it happen like that, though?
The Smiths, it's going to be... No, I'm just telling you, that show is going to be amazing.
But what I'm saying is, are they automatically on the ballot
yes.
next year?
Yes.
You're sure about
well,
that?
Well, that's what happened with like Kiss and Ozzy and whatever, or Black Sabbath.
See, I think Kiss was on and then they weren't for a couple years and then they were back on.
I think that you are on for a while.
All right.
I could be wrong.
As Paul Stanley said, they hated us.
Yeah. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they hate us. They think we're terrible. We're the opposite of stupendous. We suck.
Everyone read it wrong. Cheap Trick actually got inducted into the Kid Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So tomorrow we have that conversation.
Okay. I'll
keep you updated.
I mean, it will still be a good show, right? The rocking part of it, Kid Rock.
Here's the thing.
Kid Rock's
what if,
come out
what if you guys fail? You cancel all your plans. Kid Rock bails and Cetera's back
comes in.
I mean, could Cetera in the 11th hour?
He is being a complete dick. He's being a dick.
So he's not, is he going to even show up?
No, he's not even showing up to pick. Okay. He's like, hey, a lot of people, one of his Facebook posts, not Facebook, on his own website, he goes, I guess there's 27 people that didn't show up to pick up their award. And he goes, add me to the list. I don't mind being number 28. And if you read that list of people who didn't show up, they're complete assholes. Axl Rose, David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen. I mean, come on. You want to be on that list, Peter Cetera, with your nice coiffed haircut and your nice complexion?
Here's the thing.
Your suit.
Suck it up and play two songs.
Suck it up. Here's the thing that makes me really mad, if I can really go crazy.
Do it.
How many people voted for Chicago? Like 23 million people?
Yeah. Yep. Twice as many as like the other
It was
band.
In the millions. Yeah. I think it's like 23. And it's like...
Half of those were past members of Chicago.
You don't owe your fans... you don't owe your fans anything. But for this, I think you owe those 23 million people to get up there and sing Saturday in the Park and fucking shut up.
Although, Terry Kath can't be there.
No, I agree. But but if he could, if he was alive, he'd be
there. He would be there.
Yes.
There's a better chance now that he'll be there over Cetera right now.
Van Halen, they don't even talk to David Lee Roth. They just get up on stage. They do it every night.
Yep. And they even go to the press and talk about how much they hate each other, but they still
get up there every night and do a show. I think some of the Eagles do not talk to each other, but they would get up there every night and hit the harmonies and do the show. And then, so if you can't get up there and sing just one song, that is ridiculous. That you are being a baby.
Or just go there.
At least pick up the award.
Yes, yes. And just let people see you and have your words to say.
I'll even give you that. You don't, you know.
Yeah.
Look, David Bowie just died. Okay? Lemmy just died. You guys are right in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Age-wise, I'm not saying Peter Cetera is not way more healthier than Lemmy.
Sure.
He is. But how about Glenn Frey? I didn't know Glenn Frey was even sickly. He always looked handsome to me.
Could Cetera actually be ill?
No.
Mentally,
no one that was ill would be posting.
I mean, Linda Ronstadt,
posting.
Okay, she's, you know, ailing.
But anyway, it's just...
We haven't even spoken of how the Black Keys are going to induct Steve Miller. Like,
I don't get any of this.
I don't get any of it.
I don't even like the Black Keys either. So there's another.
You know what? They're not bad. They're not bad. They're actually good.
I will say I didn't like them, but some of their two new songs that are on the radio are tolerable.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not bad. I don't even want to diss them, but just to
doesn't make sense that they're. Like, if you told me Peter Frampton was inducting him, I'd go, well, okay, they're guitar heroes.
I mean,
heroes.
Do you remember when Bono inducted reggae? Why is it leaving my brain right now?
Bob Marley.
Yeah.
That one was amazing. Bruce Springsteen with Jackson Browne. Like, they're people who, they're maybe even bigger than the people.
Yeah.
And they come and they give these words of how that, and anyway.
Yeah, it's all going to break.
Why didn't Bob Marley, for some reason, that just left my brain for a second.
Know. That's what happens. It happens. All right, your song.
Now we're going to get into some repeats.
We've been playing a lot of Brian Johnson.
I know, but okay. So this one's a bond. We're going back to Highway to Hell because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And I love this song. It's called If You Want Blood, You Got It. Because it's about like giving everything you have to whatever, and it can just apply to your life,
your blood, and your sweat, your tears.
It's and yet still has that rock and roll edge, and it's wonderful. And here it is.
It ought to be a whole lot more.
So great. That apparently, I read on the internets that that was based on some reporter asked what they should expect from the next album, and Bon Scott said blood. And so that kind of, I guess, went from there.
Bon Scott must, I mean, because he died before I was even aware. There was no place to look up footage of him or anything. So for me, my AC/DC was always Bon Scott because I could see him on MTV and stuff. But I don't remember seeing Bon Scott on MTV that much. You know what I mean?
Right.
But when I see footage now on YouTube, he looks like quite a character.
Yeah, I think of guys like him or like John Bonham, mm-hmm. like these guys that could be like blue collar. They could have either been a rock star or like a, you know, a mechanic. Not that there's anything right. wrong with it, but it just meaning like they have these kind of got like hardworking guy
yeah.
things that it working class that like, you don't like see that
super,
today.
Super working class.
Yeah. You don't see that.
I think Bon Scott was missing a tooth for a while.
Oh, I think they all were. Look at this. I have a cover from a Circus magazine that I had in 1982 when I was 12 years old. And I believe Angus is missing a tooth too.
Yeah. That's insane.
Right?
That's
He's
crazy.
Missing a tooth on the front of this magazine.
Circus magazine. Bon Scott was 33.
Oh!
33 when he died. It's wow. unbelievable.
And if you have you seen Let There Be Rock?
The movie? Like yes. the concert film? I have not.
I have it on like VHS. And I remember watching it. And what I found remarkable was just how boring it was. Like really? It's just... But I love that because yeah. it just showed the like, okay, some roadies are putting the stuff mm-hmm. together and then they're going to go out and play the songs. And it's not like they were as dynamic as they became.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of young guys just, we're going to rock the hell out of this right. moment. And like, and everything's going to be packed up and move. Like, I just remember waiting for something compelling.
Well, they started to write their songs where it was like, they have a song called How's Bells. And obviously someone says, we have to have a giant bell on stage and you'll ring it.
Yeah.
And then for those about to rock, we salute you. And we have to have cannons on stage. And it just all of a sudden like, hey, the stuff that are in your songs, we could bring those props along
yeah.
and play with them.
And all people right. just, people eat it up. I think that's
yeah,
great.
People eat it up.
Yeah, I think that's great.
I was so disappointed on this last tour that they played Dodger Stadium because that's not a good place to see.
Mm.
You know, they played the Forum when it was a dump. I thought, oh, they'll
yeah,
come
that's where I
back
saw.
Through the Forum. Nope.
Because it's so appropriate. It's such an appropriate venue.
Yeah, it's a great venue too now. Have you been there since it's been remodeled?
No.
It's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Hmm.
I've been there so many times since they remodeled it. Foo Fighters, Eagles, Queen plus Adam Lambert.
I love me my Adam Lambert. You know, he's going to be in Rocky Horror Picture Show television movie.
And who is he playing?
He's playing Eddie. The casting is excellent because the casting of that Grease live was.
See, I think he should play. I think he should be Frankenfurter.
Well, you know, it's that woman.
Yes,
that's on,
from Orange is
yes.
the New. But I'm.
That, I think that's pretty brilliant.
I'm a little confused by that though because.
But that's the whole point.
He's a sweet transvestite.
Right. Well, I see what you're saying.
He
yeah,
is
yeah,
a
yeah.
sweet transvestite because he's dressing up as a woman.
Right.
But now
Laverne
we have
Cox, Laverne Cox.
Laverne Cox is a woman.
Yes.
Transgendered.
Correct.
So that's a little, to me, I don't like that casting.
Okay.
Put her anywhere else.
I find it interesting.
Yeah, to me, they're sensationalizing the casting on that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But, because Adam Lambert,
oh my God.
he would rock that garter belt.
That's true.
Like, how amazing is...
That's true.
That's when... I saw that movie when I was in ninth grade, and everyone was going to see it, and I didn't know what... It played in our hometown, like, at midnight. Tiny Hollidaysburg. And I literally, like, when I watched it in ninth grade, I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be watching this.
Yeah. Right?
This seems dirty on a weird level. Like,
yes,
it's not...
Yes,
but like,
the music is good.
Yeah, the music is good.
Are they going to censor it much for the television?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
You know who just joined the... what?
I was just going to say, like, they could easily slap, like, a TVMA on it, just not show any nudity, and it would be fine. But are they going
to
do that, or are they going
to,
like, try
and
put
goes to Brad and Janet and has sex with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's...
I would love to know what people... I know. I would love to know what people thought of that movie who just went and saw it as a movie. You know what I mean? who when it first was released, it wasn't released with people throwing toast and yelling, where's
right.
your fucking neck?
Right.
And taking an umbrella in. It's, you know, it wasn't, it was just a movie.
Yeah.
And then it became this thing. So I wonder what people thought when they just went and saw it as a movie.
I don't know. I mean, remember my cousin Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid, and yeah. I remember her explaining the plot points point by point. And she was like 5 years older than me. And I remember going like, wow, you know, maybe this movie will still be playing when I get a little older, which it was.
Yeah.
But I remember just being like, what? What? Like, and she was just yeah. kind of explaining it like it was just a movie that she saw, which was interesting.
Yeah, just them running around in their underwear. I was like, what's going on? Yeah. They weren't naked.
It was really very unique. Years yeah. later, I read a script. The guy who plays Riff Raff.
Richard O'Brien.
Yes. He wrote another script about hell. Mm-hmm. And I was working for a producer at the time. And it was interesting because on the page, you just can't see it.
Yeah.
You can't see it. Was still like, well, this is so corny. And I'm like, well, but I bet if I read Rocky Horror,
yeah.
it would not be on the page either. It just came to life with all of those people.
He does the voice of the dad on Phineas and Ferb.
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
I kind of found him sexy. I'll say it.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
He's like if Tom Petty lost all his hair.
Yeah.
Well, he did write a sequel. There was a sequel, too. There was Shock Treatment.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that.
I've never seen it either because Brad and Janet are in it, but it's not Susan and... And what was the actor's name who played Brad?
Barry Bostwick.
Barry Bostwick.
Mm-hmm. He's always George Washington to me. Guess who just was added to that cast, though? Ben Vereen. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Is he the narrator?
Yes. No, right? Or the doctor?
Tim Curry's the narrator, the criminologist guy.
Oh, Tim Curry's?
Yeah.
Okay. Then.
Oh, okay. Then
Ben Vereen is the narrator because there's the narrator and then there's Dr. Scott.
Oh, okay. Dr. Scott.
That's oh, who, yeah.
I so think Tim Curry is going to be Dr. Scott.
I think, okay. I think
Great
Tim
Curry. Scott.
Dr. Scott.
Oh my gosh.
I can't remember. This is something we could easily be looking up right now.
I saw it. I saw it more than once too. And every time I felt a little, I felt icky.
Yeah, but no,
I was
really?
Young.
And not
I was
like,
young.
Ooh, like,
No, I felt like, ooh, I don't know if, boy. My mom was like, hey, how was that midnight movie? And I'd go, good. Please don't ever go see it. And yet, I bet if we watched it right now, we'd go, there's nothing in this. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, maybe. It was super sexy, though, at the time.
I don't know. Maybe.
We're all lucky. All right. It's you, I think.
It's me. I'm going to go with, another Bon Scott song.
Yeah.
This song is so good. I never get sick of this song. From Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, this is Problem Child.
Ooh.
I think he says the F word up at the top. You say fuck this?
And when I'm cut not, this, I thought.
Cut this. I thought he said
I'm cold
fuck this.
As ice. Get out of my way. Just step aside. I pay the price. What I want, I take. What I don't, I break. And I don't want you. When it breaks my knife, I can change your life. There's nothing you can do. I'm a problem child.
Now this song's about a 6-year-old acting up at school.
Right? And John Ritter's the dad?
Yep.
No. No.
What's your next tune?
Well, it's from Back in Black. So I'm glad you didn't bring any, so I brought my two.
Oh, I need to tell you, too, you know, the audio on last week's episode, which, by the way, I had a lot of fun doing that show.
That was super fun.
And I had a great time hanging out with your husband, Gary. I always have a good time with him. I actually think that if him and I went out together somewhere, we might get in a little bit of trouble. We get ourselves in some trouble.
Yeah.
Not with ladies. I'm just being ornery.
Yeah.
I think we would get a little... that might be the night I call you and go, oh, we're in jail. What did you guys do? And it'd be something stupid. It wouldn't even be anything cool. Wouldn't be a fight. Wouldn't be drugs.
Nope.
Wouldn't be hookers. It would be like something dumb.
Yeah.
Gary dared me to pee on this building and I did.
Absolutely. Yep. That sounds...
so stupid. Uh-huh. But anyway, I just wanted to say
By
that.
By the way...
Oh, but anyway, I know what I was going to say. Oh. The audio was not good because my mic, it sounded like I was yelling from like the back of the room.
Oh.
But I did as much as I could with it. And someone said that they weren't even going to listen to it. He goes, but I'm glad I did because I got to hear the Pat and Christy show. He's like, I love Chris, love Christy Stratton.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so nice. Yeah. That's so nice to hear.
So.
You mentioned Gary and a nice compliment because
Gary,
before I came here, I wanted to, because I had a publicist for Everyone's Crazy, mm-hmm. but us, my web series, for a brief amount of time. But I thought, and so I knew all the things that were coming out about it. But so I thought, oh, I'll just do a quick Google search to see if there's something that I missed.
Okay.
And there was just like a little blurb and some little thing. And it was like a funny show about two sociopaths who but think everyone else is crazy. And I'm like, but wait a minute, that's me and my husband. I mean, not that anything of those things that we do in the web series we actually have done, right. because we haven't. But I was like, am I a sociopath?
No.
I mean, maybe, right? Maybe it's just young people that think I'm a sociopath. But people my age just think I'm, you know, there. Just
regular.
Regular.
One of the episodes has the husband... text from someone else's phone.
Yes.
You told me Gary,
oh, Gary
has done
does
that.
Do that, Gary, but he's never, okay. I mean, he's never like gotten anyone in, you know,
yeah,
that much trouble.
Nothing malicious or anything.
It's usually like, come into my office or something like that. So yeah. But he'll text from someone else's phone. So that person will go into someone else's office and be like,
because
yeah?
when Pilar and I watched it, I said, oh my God, this Christy told me that Gary actually does this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's usually just like, come in here right. immediately. Or I love you. He does that too. He'll just, from a random person's phone, he'll text some other person and just say, I love you. We're sociopaths. Okay, from Back in Black.
Okay.
This song contains my favorite AC/DC lyric.
Okay.
And the song is Have a Drink on Me. That's it. Forget about the check. We'll get hell to pay.
That's great.
It's so, good. And that song is really, really tragic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about Bond. It's about that. And it's a rocker and you enjoy it, but it really works on that other level as well. Like it's so good.
Yeah. You know, Mal and the boys, they came in and they said they wanted me to, you know, sing a song about Bond. I said, I'd try to, you know, work something up lyrically. And we did it.
I mean, that's,
We laid it down and the boys really, they just cooked.
I mean, can you imagine, you come in this band and you have to pay tribute
right.
to the, you know, I mean, I'm sure he was a fan and whatever, I don't, but like, that's your whole thing is like, we're doing this about him mm-hmm. and this whole experience. And then they just knock it out of the park.
And then you have to go out on tour and go, I hope these people enjoy what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna sing the old stuff. It's not a David Lee Roth Sammy thing where, you know, they don't really sing each other's catalog, you know. But he can, you know. It's his own way. He doesn't sound like Bon Scott. He's in the same, you know, wheelhouse.
Yes,
hate that term wheelhouse.
No, but yes,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like they got someone completely different.
Nope.
So.
It does seem like that's one of the only bands where there's like complete acceptance. No one really. You never hear like, oh, I don't like Brian Johnson, you know.
I'm not even going to talk about it. Andrew Rich already said that I was going to talk about this tonight, so I'm just not doing it.
Oh, really?
That was avoiding so it. Funny.
I'm so avoiding it.
It was so right on.
Damn you, Andrew. Hey, let's go to a phone call though, because we should
should
hear something. And why don't you hand me the plug there, Kyle, because I have every AC/DC song.
Well, I'm off to do it after I play the thing.
Oh, yes, you will. Sorry.
So here's one. It's like a few seconds.
Here's a phone call. Bear with Hold us. On. Hey, Mike Siegel's here.
Darling, have a glass of wine.
Take a seat, Siegel.
Hello. Get a glass. There's some Bordeaux.
There's beers downstairs in the fridge too. What's up, guy? Won't play?
It's playing. It just made
yes. My name is John. I saw your tweet. thought I requested an AC/DC song. Here's the thing. I was doing a show, little show called The Tonight Show, and one time our guest was Rosemary Clooney, and the comedian was Buddy Hackett. And Buddy during a commercial break, started finger banging Rose Clooney. And it made me think of that song, A Whole Lot of Rosie. So if you could play that, that would be that'd be dynamite. Thanks. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
All right. Well, that song's in my queue, Kyle. So that was Dirty Carson. And that was Dirty Carson, okay, as portrayed by
the great Jimmy Pardo.
The great Jimmy Pardo.
Should I go into the kitchen?
Yeah, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get a key off the back of the door. It's the flat key and to open that door.
It's great radio.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Siegel's here early. That's
Yay!
Fine. We like when Mike's here and he's going to get down and get a beer out of the fridge. Just shut it, Mike. Don't be a jerk. He's trying to shut the door real quietly.
There's more than one song where a Zaftig woman plays a part yeah. and is there sexually.
You know what else I find about a lot of Bon Scott songs? It's about a lady that did him wrong.
Oh, really?
Normally you hear like women write those kind of songs.
Right.
So there's a lot of ones where this girl did me wrong, man.
Hmm. This call is pretty short. Do you want to hear this one?
Sure. Let's hear another call.
Big balls.
All right, I like that. Do we know who that's from?
No, that's from the 517. So thanks.
All right, let me. I was just gonna say, let me whip out some big balls.
Yeah,
but that's not what I meant. Where? Oh, here it is. All right, are you ready, Kyle? I'm playing it.
Yep,
should be playing. There we go. I'm going to jump right in the middle.
Fancy big balls. And he's got big balls. And she's got big balls.
But we've got the best balls of all.
This is from Rocky Horror.
My balls are always bouncing. My balls are always full.
It's ridiculous.
It's so great.
Comes and comes again.
That is like a bad one-nighter comic who's next. He's gonna sing Brown Booger by
like,
the Stones.
That's like someone who calls into the Dr. Demento show.
Yep. You're right. Big balls.
I kind of don't hate that though. I kind of think it's fun. When it comes up in my mix, I'll listen to it.
When when I was in high school, and me and Jim Schultz and John Gallagher would listen to the All Night Animal, Steve Kelsey on WFBG AM. Whenever he would play that at night, we would like kind of like giddy, big balls.
Yeah, because it was like what? Like they were not like it was. Yeah, it was right. It was what it was.
And that guy really, he played anything he wanted to play. That's when radio was good.
Oh, remember AOR? Play. Remember Dallas Fort Worth had not one, but two AOR stations: KZEW, Q102, two AOR album-oriented rock.
Yep, that's when it was great.
It was just the best.
I know.
I want to skip number 7 because it's already been played. The drop I have on this is just for the guitar solo.
Okay.
Now we talked about kind of the kind of slower bluesy numbers.
Yep.
And this is to me one of the great ones, the Jack. But here's what I'm kind of like all of this innuendo. But the Jack, I kind of like, I know it means something. Like, is it VD? Is he talking about like jacking? You know,
I think it's
himself
VD.
Off.
I thought
okay.
it was VD.
Okay, because to me, it's so like, oh, is it this? Is it that? Like, I know it's not what it is on the surface, but anyway, here we go. The Jack.
Yeah.
was her nature.
Poker face with my pink. I don't know what.
It does say it's about VD.
Okay.
So. All right.
VD.
She's got it. She's
right,
got
but it's like
Jack.
It's called Jack, so it's like, well,
yep.
She might have a way with the handies. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Saying
it could be many.
Maybe she has to give handies because she has VD.
Oh,
and she's got a poker face.
Yeah.
No, they poker face with it.
Yeah.
That's just dirty.
It's about Lady Gaga.
My next song is from an album called Flick of the Switch.
Ooh.
This came out after For Those About to Rock, We Salute You. This is when they decided to go more bare bones. They did not use Robert John Mutt Lang. They decided to produce it themselves, which I think was a mistake.
And have a sketch for the album cover, really.
I do like the sketch, though, because it's Angus getting ready to flick a big switch. But I really think if Mutt Lang would have been there, this album could have been amazing. I don't think it sounds that great, but I do really like this album. And the song that I picked from this album is the title track, which is Flick of the Switch. You can hear it's a little muddier of a mix. Yeah, it's good. I like it. It's a solid album. I really enjoy that. It's also the last album that Phil Rudd plays on.
Ooh.
He's not in the videos. Simon Wright joins the band, and then he's in the videos for the songs from this album. I met Simon Wright at a Subway sandwich.
What?
Yeah. He has drummed with UFO. He's drummed with Dio. He drummed with AC/DC for a long time. And one day I saw him walking.
How was he good? How was he at making your sandwich?
Ah, man.
Kyle?
Lightning fast.
Damn it. So one day it's the Subway that's at the end of where Lancashire meets Cahuenga, where it's just like
okay,
that.
Okay, Pat. Go on.
So if you want to meet him there.
Don't leave any detail about the Subway.
It's kind of like a little crappy area. But anyway.
Now go on.
So one day I saw him there. I'm like, my God, I think that's Simon Wright. And I didn't say anything. So like 3 days later, I'm there. He's there again. So I'm like, I got to say it. And he's walking to his car with his sandwich. And he's a little guy. He's real tiny. And I said, Simon Wright? And he like turned around. He's like, yeah? I go, hey, man, I'm just a really big fan of your work with the UFO and AC/DC. And he was like, oh, man, I never get recognized.
Oh,
thank you so much.
I love that.
I go, what are you up to now? He's like, oh, we're working, you know, doing the next Dio thing. And he was really cool. Oh. Yeah. Well, this was like 15 years ago.
Love that.
And he said, have you tried this sweet onion teriyaki? It's amazing.
Kyle, I just want to say, I want to acknowledge you and say that if I was as fast as you are, I would have the world on a string. I mean it. You are fast.
Okay. By the way, Kyle.
And I admire that. I am not.
Is the thing still happening tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Okay. Well, this is perfect because this will drop and people can follow. So what are you doing tomorrow? Tell everyone.
I am tweeting for Tig Notaro's Twitter tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. That's huge.
I'm so glad that we're recording tonight so that you can say that.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, for
sure. Does it happen at midnight tonight or does it happen in the morning?
I get 10 tweets during the day.
You only get 10.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Do you send them somewhere and then they tweet them? How does
it
work?
They just give me the info.
They make a different path. And now you get to put your picture up there too, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Kyle, that is so awesome.
I assume you're going to use the Rock Solid logo.
That is terrific.
That is really
great.
That
is really terrific.
That's really good.
I mean, no one is hotter than Tig right now. I mean, no one.
Have you been thinking like of tweet? Are you banking some tweets?
Yeah, I have some like draft.
Yes. And then you might think of something on the fly tomorrow and you'll throw that out there.
Because you're that fast.
Do not tweet, fuck you, Tig. Don't do that. That would be, what if your 10 tweets were just all you don't
I'm just going to only retweet Donald Trump tomorrow.
Oh, that is fantastic. Yeah,
so congratulations. So everyone, yeah, if you're wonderful. Not following Tig Notaro, follow her tomorrow because young Kyle is going to have his tweets up there. That's going to be cool.
That's terrific.
So excited. When he told me that, I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a really, that's cool, really cool thing. Yeah. That's very cool.
Put it on your resume.
Sure.
Let's print out the page, staple it to it.
Yeah.
Do it. What's up, Christy?
Oh, me? Am I next? Okay.
Yeah, I just played Flick of the Switch.
I was trying. All right. Forgive me. I am going to play the most popular AC/DC song there is.
Wait a minute. Are you about to shake me?
No. All and night here's long? What. Here's what. I know. You'd think it's that.
I do think it's that because rock radio rams it down my throat. I still love it.
But though. There's still the movies and there's still television.
All right.
And movies and television have dethroned that song and put this other song in its stead, and it still rocks and it's still great, but it's good and it's popular and it's Thunderstruck.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
It's worth it though. That's pretty good. Come on.
Look, when this album came out, produced by Bruce Fairbairn, this was a comeback album for them because they had waned for quite a few years. They were just okay.
But the build.
This album's great. Fire Your Guns, Money Talks, The Razor's Edge, Rock Your Heart Out. 12 songs, which is rare for them. Of course, Rolling Stone magazine gave the album 2 stars.
Sure.
Jerks. That just that continuous rock riff is amazing.
It's so great. So I was looking up because I thought that's been in quite a few. Like, I didn't even write any of them down because if you go to Wikipedia,
it's just ridiculous.
The list of movies and television shows is so long. But get this. I also found another thing on the internets that said that it is one music supervisor was asked, like, what's the most expensive song that you've ever had to license? And the music supervisor said it was in the movie Varsity Blues, and they spent $500,000 to license that song. So not only has it been in all these things, it's freaking expensive. $500,000 for Varsity Blues. This is 90s money, remember. So
who gets that money? Does the band get it? Do the writers get it?
Don't they all share writing credit? I mean, isn't it like, or is it just Brian and
Youngs? No, this was the first album where the Youngs just wrote all the songs.
Okay.
And from this album on, Brian Johnson doesn't write the songs.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know how that works out. I don't know if they said, we can take it from here, Brian. I don't know. But
the money. I mean, can you imagine?
The money talks, I bet.
I always have this dream of, like, when I have my show on the air and, like, at the 5-year, like, I remember going to with my husband who works for Comedy Central, we went to the South Park, whatever anniversary, whatever season party, and Duran Duran played. And that was freaking awesome.
That's amazing.
But I'm like, you know what? Oh, wouldn't it be great, like, to have a show that's on the air for a long time and I can hire AC/DC? And my friend is like, you would never be able to afford AC/DC.
No, you couldn't even afford one song.
I mean,
you those could get
guys,
Cheap Trick.
Yes, which would be awesome.
Kid Rock might show up too.
Oh, shut up with the Kid Rock, Kyle. I'm going to punch you right in the face.
He's ruining our lives.
Kid Rock is ruining all my fun. This album also, it was the first album with, the first and only album to feature Chris Slade on drums. He's the bald guy. And do you remember him from the videos? He's quite an imposing figure. And he's actually back with the band now since
Phil Rudd. Phil Rudd, I read about this.
The deep end.
He threatened
mm-hmm.
to kill a couple of people.
Great.
Just a couple.
And look.
It has to go further than that. Because here, right now. Well, see, I'm going to kill you. Okay, now nothing's happening to me for saying that, right?
Don't. Don't.
He's taking
don't
pictures.
Post.
He's getting.
And I know. Okay, but I like. I just okay. I'm
you
a
look
lady,
fantastic.
Whatever.
He'll show it to you before he posts.
He at first it was
wait
conspiracy.
A minute. First of all, wait a second. You look great.
Oh, I'm a mess.
How does she look tonight?
Great.
I have had a blowout.
All right.
Which would be a AC/DC song that meant something else.
Earlier today, I had the jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go, tell your story.
All right. Well, okay. At first, it was like conspiracy to commit murder. And apparently these people, they were going to do a album with them in New Zealand. And so I'm sure he's like, I'm going to kill you guys. But so that I can dismiss. Like, I can let that go. A rock and roller, he's 60, he's threatened. He's like, I'm going to kill you.
Right. You didn't think Lemmy said that every night of the week at the Rainbow?
But then they found methamphetamines. That's meth, right? That's not just Benny's?
Yeah.
That's meth.
That's meth.
Okay, because the pot, fine. But meth? I mean, this guy's got to have some money.
And
like,
then you,
why the meth?
You always said this, and I agree with you. He was the cute one.
He was the cute one!
But did you see recent pictures of him?
Yes.
Ooh, not cute.
Oh, I want to say this about Robert Plant. I have talked about how, like, him and Jimmy, whatever. I think he's come around again, and I've seen a picture of him recently.
You think
and
he's
I'm
had
like,
some work done?
No. I just think the grizzled is in the short hair. I think he's coming around to being hot again.
Okay.
I'll say it.
Rick Springfield's letting his hair go gray finally.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. And that new album's good, people. That new Rick Springfield album is really fun. We were mentioned in a team.
Oh, I can't even. I can't even that Gloria Gaynor favored a tweet, the tweet that I was in, and then now.
Martha Quinn? And Rick Springfield,
even.
This is a crazy
honestly,
week.
If you would have told me at 12 years old that all this was going to happen to me.
I know.
I would have been like, no way.
By the way, the whole AC/DC catalog was re-released in 2003, all remastered for the first time and re-released on, I think, Sony or Columbia. And David Wilde, our friend, writes the liner notes to a couple of those albums. So, just wanted to let you know that. All right, let's jump into a song from Powerage. This is Paul Gilmartin's favorite.
Oh, is it? Wait. Is it Powerage? I always said Powerage.
Yeah, I always said Powerage.
I say Powerage too, but
Powerage. Okay, so I'm sorry, Paul Gilmartin.
Paul Gilmartin says Powerage.
Okay, well then.
Now he's crazy.
Okay.
If you listen to his podcast, he's really got issues. But this is his favorite AC/DC album, and
I'm sure he'd love you saying that.
He wouldn't. He knows how I am.
All right.
Also, by the way, I want to go jump back on Money Talks. That was produced by Bruce Fairbairn, who had produced Aerosmith and Bon Jovi. And again, I think AC/DC is better when an outside producer comes in, fresh ears to steer them in.
Don't we all, when you have fresh eyes on anything that you're doing in your work, it helps. It just makes it better.
There's very few bands that produce themselves to good results. Styx always self-produce themselves. And
really?
So if you like Styx, those records sound good.
They do.
And I think they did a great job.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work like that.
Interesting.
Door to door. Okay.
I can't. I don't. It doesn't exist.
This is a song called What's Next to the Moon. By the way, I'm going to... You don't like that song?
No, it's interesting because it's a little bit more philosophical, right? Than some of their works.
You've never heard Power Age?
I really thought
it's
I had,
the album
but I don't know that
right
one.
Before Highway to Hell.
Okay.
Very good. Very good.
All right.
I usually don't like to do this, but I'm going to tease next week's episode. I'm a little worried because the gentleman has been very lovely. Like his emails to me, he's a gentleman. But he's rescheduled 3 weeks in a row. But every week, the reason is amazing. I'm going on tour with Joan Jett for 3 weeks, and she's added two new songs to the set list, and I need to learn those. My autobiography is, the first draft is due on March 1st, so I need to finish. So everything has been top notch, and he's really nice. But I'm going to say it anyway, because I really think next week it's going to happen. We're going to record on Wednesday, just like we're doing tonight, and it's going to drop the next day, and we're going to have a drummer, Kenny Aronoff.
Oh.
John Mellencamp, and he's played with Alanis and Neil Diamond and Rod Stewart.
Wow,
and Melissa
that's
going to
be fantastic.
And the Smashing Pumpkins and John Fogerty, and just so met Johnny Cash, so many people he's played with.
Fantastic.
Alice Cooper and Johnny Cash. It's crazy. Because you know the crazy person out of those two is Johnny Cash.
Sure.
So anyway, your turn. I'm teasing that.
Okay, because I mean, you know me. I don't like to take too much time.
Christy just asked what time, how long we've been recording.
No, but I want to drop my last song.
This is your last one?
No. And if we can get that thing that I love on the internet.
I already found it.
Okay. Yep. You guys, now let me just, I want to apologize first for people who are purists and only just love the rock and roll. But when I heard / saw this on the internet, which is back to being amazing in my eyes because of this.
Okay, for a second, I thought you meant that / saw this.
Oh, no.
When I heard that / saw this on the internet.
I can see that. It mixes two things I love very much, AC/DC and Bee Gees.
Yes.
And this is a mashup, everyone, of Staying Alive and Back in Black.
It is amazing. If you licensed this mashup, it would cost $2 million.
Yep. You can't dance the way I use my walk. I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. I'm easy living, women want my feet to rest. That's how I was born.
That's crazy.
Like it's
I think
beyond.
I think they could release that to rock radio and sell it and all the money to charity.
Yes.
It would be
I
would buy that. So great.
It's so great.
To make that you'd need like isolated vocals and I don't even know where you'd
I don't even know how you in your head I don't think that way. Like musically, you know what I mean?
I love music. I don't either.
Do you play any instruments?
No, I took guitar lessons when I was a teenager, but I didn't take the time. I didn't practice, and I keep it. I keep it as like an albatross.
Yeah.
I have a Fender, actually one that was made in America, which apparently it's worth something.
Let's make guitars great again.
I mean, it's just as little, it just has two pickups. It's whatever. But it was not natural to me and I didn't practice. So it represents something that I wanted and I wasn't willing to put the work in. So I always want to keep it as part of my life. But I'm not that. And I can't.
Everyone who wants to make America great again has two pickups too. So
yeah.
Tweet it, Tig.
Dang. I mean, what?
Nice. Pilar bought me an acoustic, a really nice acoustic guitar for my 40th birthday.
And you smashed it.
I said,
vinyl style.
I said, I love Pete Townsend. I'm going to have to break this over I put my wife beater on. I broke it over her skull.
Wow.
No. So, so I just turned 52 and I have yet to learn. And like, I will get it out sometimes and like play on it. And she's like, and I'm not playing anything. I'm playing nothing. No chords, just bullshit. Just strumming. And she's like, I really wish you would take a guitar lesson. I really think you would be good because even just your nonsense sounds okay to me. And I'm like, this is just nonsense.
Well, the key though is having a band. it's just having people to play with. Because if it's just you just in your room doing...
Did you just invite me to form a band with you?
Yes, I did. I have a pianica. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
It's also a hooter. It's called a hooter. Yeah. Yeah. I have one of those.
Yeah.
From childhood. I'm not a hoarder. What? All right. I can't do any better than that, by the way. That's it for me.
Mike, you have an acoustic guitar. When did you get your acoustic guitar?
I got it right, I was about 35.
So about the same time I got mine.
Yeah.
And have you learned to play it yet?
Not one note.
So, and Kyle, do you have a guitar?
No.
You should get one and just set it in your closet. We all have one. I think you just played that.
That's
so I'm
it,
gonna play,
I can't do better than that.
I'm gonna play a song that this is probably my least favorite AC/DC album. It's called Blow Up Your Video, but I love this song, and this song is called Heat Seeker.
It's very different for them.
I don't know what the rest of the album is not good. It's just okay, but I've always loved that song. And I remember buying the album and being because that was the first single, that was the video, it's the first song in the album, and then when the disappointment sets in, you're like, that's the best song on the album. I like when you buy an album, and the single is not. The best song on the album. That's when you're like, wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, you're up. What do you got?
That's it. I can't tell. I brought something else, but I can't top that. I want that to...
Can end with Heat Seeker.
All right. Well, last song.
I know you have more songs.
I do. I have one more song.
Christy looks at me and she says, how long is the episode? And I go, we're at an hour and 25 minutes. And she's like, she gives me the cut sign across her neck. Cut it.
You think she was trying to tell you she was going to kill you?
Oh,
like
right.
Phil Rudd.
Maybe. Well, or like the song.
Maybe. Or since I'm wearing a wife beater, maybe she was saying, kill me.
Speaking of murder.
Yes.
One of the best songs to run to if you're a runner is this one. It's a title track.
This is a good treadmill song?
It's a good treadmill song. Right. It's called Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap.
Is this our playout or should we, or do you have a playout?
This would be an amazing playout song, but I have like five more songs. I'm not going to play them all, but.
Okay.
You're going to top Dirty Deeds.
I'm not going to top Dirty Deeds. There's no way I can.
All right.
I might be able to. Go ahead. Play.
Okay. That's the devil voice right there. Yes. Like that's the one as a child, I'm like, I'm afraid.
How great is it too that they allowed Angus to be basically the focal point of the band? Like he's on most all the album covers, almost solo. He's on the album covers. And that's pretty cool too. I mean, that's lead singers that don't have lead singer disease. They're like, yeah, Angus, it's Angus's band. Who cares?
Right. We'll call it the J. Giles band. It's fine.
That's right.
Yeah. I like that. Just because to me, like I talked about, you guys have got to read that article about Silence of the Lambs. It's so good. But I feel that the best things that are out there artistically or ones where you have multiple people coming together and just doing their best and not having ego kind of play a part and whatever. And I mean, he's like, I don't care. I mean, he's just some working class guy like with a denim vest. And he's like, sure. I've got half my teeth.
I agree. We were talking about this last week about sketch shows and stuff. And anytime I've been in a sketch type of a show, I always wanted the show to be amazing. I, you know, it, look, If I'm in one sketch, but I shine in that sketch, and all the other sketch, and I'm not in another sketch, but the show's amazing.
Right.
I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Are you sure? We're never going to do an AC/DC episode. We might play AC/DC songs, but we're never going to do an AC/DC episode again.
I cherry picked. It's
you don't have any more songs.
That's all I brought. Well, I brought Put the Finger on You, the fingering song that we both brought. That was our one overlap.
How come
Put the Finger on You was our one overlap?
So you know what we were thinking about.
And by the way, on that album, Inject the Venom. I am not kidding you. That is no joke.
Well, you know what?
Inject the Venom.
Play this next one, then we'll do some promoting and we'll play one more. But play, because this is very much in the vein of Put the Finger on You. This is from Highway to Hell. This is Touch Too Much.
Uh-huh.
This sounds so good, Mutt Lang.
It was one of those nights when you turn out the lights and everything comes into view. She was taking her time, I was losing my mind. There was nothing that she wouldn't do. It wasn't the first, wasn't the last. She knew we was making love.
Just in case you weren't clear.
Right. At least he says making love.
Yeah.
So funny when he says wasn't the first, wasn't the last, because I have a picture of my first and last. Did I ever tell you that?
What?
So my high school reunion, I have a picture of me and Pilar and Mimi Wirtz. And I call that picture my first and last.
Wow. I'll never have that picture. And I'll tell you why.
Your first is dead.
He's in jail.
Is he really?
He's a drug dealer. He was a drug dealer.
How long is he going
to be? I can't. It's hard to even.
He might be in jail with Phil Rudd from AC/DC.
Well, maybe. It's really, it's a tragic tale, but I loved him so much.
But he's.
He introduced me to rock music. He was a little older.
Did he introduce you to drugs?
To pot, sure.
Did you ever
sneaking
do
out
drugs?
Of the house?
Did you ever do drugs?
No, that was it. Pot. That's
pot.
It. And I've maybe done it 20 times my whole life, and I'm like, ugh, it makes me sleepy. I'd rather have a glass of wine.
Recreational pot user.
Oh, I took a brownie once at Disneyland.
But that still was pot.
Yeah.
No, it was an LSD brownie. Oh, okay.
No. I'll tell you, Just Say No worked.
Nancy Reagan
worked.
Wow.
I got to tell you, I had the fear that my unborn children years later were going to, I was going to have an LSD flashback, and there was just a lot of fear. And you know, I mean, I'm glad
yeah.
I'm glad, but I'll tell you it worked. Not for everybody, not for everyone, but sure for me.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm hoping that your last song is not, because remember, like I say, one of my Goosebumps songs has not been played yet.
No, I'm going to do apologies right now. Apologies to Hail Caesar from Ball Breaker, which is the album that Rick Rubin produced. And I love that album. I think it's a great album. Apologies to Safe in New York City from Stiff Upper Lip. I think that's a great song.
It is a good song.
Apologies to TNT from High Voltage, an amazing song. Apologies to Anything Goes from Black Ice, which is a song that does not sound... There's a pic. What was cut out of your magazine?
Honey, I'm sure it was the Cars.
It was the Cars.
Oh, I've got to take a picture of
Siegel. Siegel was looking through a cutout hole in the in a magazine.
In the
well,
magazine.
It was where the Cars had a photo. You guys, I had a whole collage. I would put it on a board. Anyway, go on. What's your apologies?
Do you have a storage facility where you keep this stuff?
No,
everything's
I don't.
In your house.
It's in the garage.
Okay. Is your garage a mess or is it neat?
A mess.
I'll come over and help you with that. I love organizing.
Oh, good. Please. I've got lots of paint.
During the day.
I've got 30 paint cans. Help me.
Give me a call. Do some.
There's a quarter flash review.
What do they give it?
Well, it's a longer. Keep going.
All right. Okay. So anyway, Christy, where can we find you on Twitter?
Oh my gosh. I'm at Christy S. Mann, Christy S. Mann, Mann.
The next time we sit down, we're going to do songs.
Everyone's crazy but us. Please. Get out, talk to your friends about this show about sociopaths.
Should we still be liking that on
yes.
Funny or
oh
Die?
Oh my gosh, do,
everywhere?
Because you guys.
I made everyone at work watch it and they liked it.
Oh, thank you. Oh, there have been people great. That like I noticed like, wait a minute, I have to counter some of these dies.
So you if we've already watched it, just go there and
show your friends,
you know,
click like.
Funny, funny,
or funny,
funny,
whatever.
Okay, and what about, does it help if we like it on YouTube also?
It sure. You don't have to, everyone. Just enjoy it. Talk about it.
Do we have a production date when the new season's going to... Have you written
them yet? No, I have a conference call tomorrow, though.
Have you written them yet?
No, because I have to know what... I have written some. Mm-hmm. I haven't written them all because I have to know, like, oh, do I have to put a bottle of Clorox in this scene?
Okay. Somehow. Oh, that's right. Product placement.
Which I'm not afraid of.
Are you...
I'm clever.
Are you
not fast like Kyle?
No, Kyle was very quick.
I'll call you when I need to get that going.
Are you going to replace Dietrich Bader with Dick Sargent this year?
No. I will
still
never. I cannot say enough about
those two together have some nice chemistry.
It's amazing.
Christy, the next time we're together in front of these mics, it'll be for Songs That Give Us Goosebumps.
Yay! Thank you.
And Kyle, you're at Kyle Dotson Funny, but tomorrow you're going to be at Kyle
I'm going to be at Tig Notaro. Yeah.
Is that Tig Notaro?
Yeah.
At Tig Notaro. Yep. No underscore.
Nope.
All right. We're at Rock Solid Show. We're at Pat underscore Francis. I guess that's it. Let's just play it out. I'm going to play it out with a song from their brand new album, produced by Brendan O'Brien, who's worked with Springsteen and worked with Pearl Jam, and he's produced their last two long players. And this is from 2014's Rock or Bust, and this is a song called Play Ball. I love it. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks.